It is my distinct pleasure to welcome you to this week's edition of Heartline. Heartline is the weekly radio voice coming from the Evangel Home of Fresno. Here's your Heartline host, Jim Tuck.
Well, thank you, Ken, and we trust all is well in your world, and thank you so much for inserting yourself into ours to put our conversation into the form that is suitable for radio airing. We are at Jerry Brenneman's office today on this edition of Heartline, where we are nearly always. Jerry is here, as he always is, nearly. And I'm excited to interview our guest, Jerry, and find out about this young woman. Just a brief introduction of her, and then we'll get down to what's going on in her world.
Okay. This is Marianne, and when you prayed before the show, Jim, you talked about how God must be smiling when he sees his children coming to him. And that was the image that I had of Marianne right then. I so much thought of the prodigal son, the prodigal daughter. I don't know where she was in her life with her family, but she had to be lost from God. And I just, that's the image that I saw when you prayed, was her smile, him smiling, that his prodigal daughter has returned. So Marianne, before we went on the air, asked if she was going to cry. And we said, no, Jim and I always do the crying. And she's crying already. And I can't find any Kleenex. I might have to get up and get some. But Marianne is a delightful person to have. She's in the garden. And she'll share why she's in the garden, as our friends and listeners know, our listening friends know, that is alternative sentencing. So either the courts have sentenced her there or she asked to be put there. On her own for some reason. So she'll share that. But she graduates in 2 months.
Yeah.
And I think it's just wonderful now to sit here with her and think about seven months with us, only 2 months left. And this is the first time she's done the radio. As outgoing as she is, she hides whenever I'm looking for radio volunteers. And I failed to notice she was hiding, or I would have got her a long time ago. No, but you know, Jim, it's funny because I always pray. I can't say always. Sometimes I don't. About who God would want on the show. And when I make sure that I do that, no one ever says no. Mm-hmm. Now, today is a little different because we're recording on a different day than usual. It's in the afternoon. It's during spring break, and we let our women free from classes and such. But the gals in the garden are going to a movie. So we were able to get Marianne before the movie. So the schedule's a bit different today. I didn't specifically pray, I have to confess, that I would. But I did ask, and so I think the generic prayer was honored, and we have a wonderful individual here today.
Well, I'm looking forward to this. I arrived a little early today and was sitting in the dining area reading the newspaper and doing some stuff on my dumb smartphone and investigating the world around me a little bit. And as I sat there, here's this very attractive young lady walks up and says, "Hello." And, you know, you don't always get that from the residents
she
here,
welcomes people.
Whom
she
you've welcomes not people. Met before. And so that I was pretty impressed right from the get-go. Marianne, let's back up. The garden, that's pretty intensive programming. You've been there 7 months?
Yes.
What was going on in your world a year ago?
I was lost. I've been an addict since I was 14. I started off with pills and opiates.
How old are you now?
I'm 26 now, and I have two children. I met my husband, and I was with him from 15. I married him at 18, and then he passed away at 20. Our son was a month old, and so my addiction fell, like, progressively really, really bad. I started using a needle. I just was lost a year ago. A year ago, I had no intentions on living. I had no drive, you know. I didn't have God. I've been in and out of jails for the last 5 years. I've left my kids. I'm so blessed to have the parents that I have because they stepped up when I stepped down, you know. I have God in my life today, and it's such a blessing, and it's the hugest difference ever in the world because I've been to other rehabs and other programs, and I'm only okay when I'm in jail.
Let's back up just a little bit. At what point did in your decline did Evangel Home become part of the picture? Were you incarcerated?
Yeah, I was incarcerated. They had told me that I had my out date was 8/24/14, so I was in there. I was going to be in there. And like I said, this was I turned myself in May, so I was looking at a long time, and one morning they just told me to roll it up, and they brought me here in shackles. Madera County Jail brought me here in shackles, and by the grace of God, they kept me here.
Wow.
I wish I had that picture. I really do. Not a camera picture, but I wish I had that visual in my mind. I've never seen anyone brought here in shackles.
Yeah, we said before we turned on the mic, you can't tell us anything we haven't heard before. We just did. I've not heard of that either. So was it the Madera County people who...
I had no idea about the Evangel Home. I had no idea that this place even existed. I had no idea. Chaplain Adir, who I was an intake worker at the jail. I had a lot of good time, and they seen a huge change in me. There was an officer while I was incarcerated that was getting ganged up by 7 inmates. And their other inmates were trying to help her, and I grabbed her mace off of her leg and I sprayed so that the one girl that was getting ready to throw her over, she stopped and they let go. And so I was able to, you know, share. They said that it was like a heroic type of thing, but for me it was just something that I would do. I would do that for anybody, you know. And because of that, they said that they were gonna let me out on county parole. And I said, I don't want out on county parole. I don't want to go back home. I'm done. Like, I'm really done. I'm done with that lifestyle. I was running with gangs. I was just doing the most. So I don't let me out on county parole. I'll do another program, and this time I'll complete it. You know, I promise I will, you know. And so all of a sudden, one morning at 6:30, they said, roll it up, and they brought me here in shackles.
So you had already made the decision that that's not working. I'm going to find a way to change.
Yeah, in jail. The night before in jail, I had hit my knees for the first time.
Wow.
And I prayed to God. This time in there, I'd been very faithful every Saturday morning. In fact, during the chapels that come here, one of the women that come and do a chapel, her name is Irene Weaver. She comes here. She goes to Madera County Jail every Saturday morning. And she's a blessing to me. She's a huge, huge person in my heart. She holds a huge place in my heart because she challenged me, and I'm always up for a challenge. So she said, just read one scripture a day. And I was like, whatever. Like, oh my gosh, that's crazy. Like, whatever. And
God's word's alive, isn't it?
Yeah, it is alive. It is so alive. And I read one scripture. I promised her I would, and I don't break a promise. So I read one scripture a day. And all of a sudden, I realized I was stuck in my Bible. I couldn't get out of my Bible. And that was like for 4 days. And the things I was reading, the pages I would just open up and it would just talk right to me. The devotionals were just like straight to me. Like, it was crazy. I had to figure out where all that was coming from. I needed to know. And that's what brought me to the understanding that God is real. You know, I wasn't brought up in a home, a church or anything. Like, I wasn't, you know, my parents were both addicts. And so.
Are they supportive of your rehab efforts?
Most definitely. In fact,
are they clean?
Yes. Yes, they are. And you know, I went on my first weekend pass, not last weekend, but the weekend before. And I've been praying for my family's salvation. And my sister picked me up and she said, so are you going to go with me this weekend? And I'm always down. Like, I'll go. You know what I mean?
You don't even have to.
I don't. And so I was like, sure, where are we going? You know, like, I mean, let's go. I have all weekend. She's not going to get me in trouble. That's the sister that's good. She doesn't, you know, she's not gotten in trouble ever. And she said, we're going to go to church. And it took me back. I started crying and I was like, don't joke like that. That's not funny to me, you know, because I take my walk with the Lord very serious now. And when she told me that, she's driving and she looked at me and I was like, don't, watch the road, you're going to crash. My son's in the back seat and he's like, yeah, all excited. He's 6 years old and just excited, you know, and I was like, yeah, I'll go to church, of course, you know, absolutely. So when we get to my mom's house up in the mountains, my mom said, I heard that Emily's been going to church for a little over a month. And I said, yeah, I know. That's crazy, huh? And she goes, yeah, are you going to go to church with her on Sunday? I said, yeah, of course. You know, like, I'll go. I'll, even if I'm the only one, like, I'm still going to go. My mom told me I'm going to go, too. Mm-hmm. So me, my mom, my son, and my sister, we all went to church at Calvary Chapel in North Fork. And they did their, my son did his first communion. My mom did her first communion. And my sister did her first communion. Mm-hmm. And that was the biggest blessing in the world, you know. God answered my prayer right there, you know. Mm-hmm. And then my mom wrote me a letter, and all I've ever wanted was for my mom to be proud of me. And she wrote me a letter saying how proud that she was, that she supports me 150%, you know. All she's ever wanted from her kids was to be proud of them, and that day I made her very proud. I've been making her very, very proud this whole time. So.
Wow. I'm not sure where to go with that. I just feel like I need to express something to our listeners. God is real. He is who he is, first of all, and he is who he says he is in the Bible. We don't have to decide who God is. He has told us who he is. And as Marianne has found out from reading Scripture, he is the God of the Bible. And he loves you dearly, my friend. You can't be good enough to get God's grace. God offers it, and you just have to accept it. You don't have to be clean and sober to receive God's grace. You don't have to be perfect. Your relationships don't have to be all in order to accept God's grace. That will come as he inhabits your life and changes you from the inside out. When that happens, everything is brand new again. You start from ground zero. Isn't that right, Marianne?
It is so right. Every day is exciting to me. Every single day, I'm like, yes, like, what is it today? You know, like, I feel like I'm brand new. I do.
Yeah. Well, Jerry, we got about 15 seconds.
It's Easter. We could not have a better Easter story than what we just heard today.
Yeah. So my listening friends, pray for us. This is the kind of life-changing things that are happening through the ministry of Evangelome by God's grace. We need your prayer support. We can use your finances and any supplies you need at home. We need 50-fold here, so help when and where you can. Ken, it's your turn. My listening friend, thank you so much for joining us. Take this message serious today in this edition of Heartline from Evangelome of Fresno.
The Evangelome of Fresno, ministering to women and children in crisis since 1955. Reach the Evangelome by phone in the 559 area code 264-4714 or online evangelhome.org. Join us again next time for The Adventure, the radio adventure on Heartline, the radio voice of the Evangelome in Fresno.